This is Moment of Hope, brought to you by the Missionary Church Association in Jamaica. I'm your host, Nigel Wilkinson. With me today is co-host Margaret Barnett. Margaret, our focus and our special guest for today.
Thank you so much, Nigel. It is so good to be back with you this morning. Good morning, listeners. This morning, we are shining the floodlight on an issue that is too often hidden in the shadows. Men and mental health. The truth is, men are facing silent battles every day, often feeling pressured to be strong, stoic, and self-reliant. But behind the facade, many are struggling with anxiety, depression, and isolation. Stay with us as we explore the challenges men face and the courage it takes to seek support, because mental health matters for everyone. With us this morning is Jason Downer, Associate Forensic Psychologist, Youth Development Specialist, President Mugabe, author, Fathering Behind Bars, and radio host, Raising Boys and the Journey to Manhood. Jason is also a past student of the Jamaica Theological Seminary, where he studied a Bachelor's of Arts in Theology and a Master's in Forensic Psychology. Welcome to Moment of Hope, Jason. It's my pleasure to be exploring this topic with you. There are two recent reports I have seen on social media which have given me some hope that men are taking steps to break the silence surrounding their mental health. The first, the good news. There are reports of incidents of domestic violence against men taking an upward trend. Men are reporting this more, and that's in the parish of St. Mary. The other, not so good, is a video of a man on social media crying out for help as he's suffering from suspected post-traumatic stress as a result of childhood sexual abuse. Talk to us, Jason, about what it is in Jamaica, about the strong cultural expectations for men to be tough and silent about their struggles. How do you think these expectations impact men's mental health?
Yes, Dr. Barnett, thanks again for having me. Thanks to the listeners. Just want to say hi to Dr. Blossom, right, of course, you know. So, growing up, we learned a term now called toxic masculinity. I rather use the term unhealthy masculinity. Pretty much speaks to, you know, listeners speaks to those attributes or characteristics that is damaging, not just to the individual, but wider society, yeah? And so growing up, we have always heard boys must cry. Or if a boy cry, you hear, you're going like you're a girl. And so oftentimes boys try not to be at the receiving end of that comment. And so they tend to quote unquote man up or not to show that weaker side. The thing about it is we often hear those terms from our parents or our brothers or our sisters. So it's right in the home. We don't first hear it outside. And so we try not to show our emotions. So we lack emotional intelligence and subsequently down the line, self-regulation. And so when we're hurting, we tough it out and we find other ways of, not to show that we're hurting, but it comes out in other forms that are harmful, not just to us, but more so to other people. So growing up, I mean, it's all around us.
So what I just heard you saying is that we have to learn and teach our boys how to express themselves.
Correct.
Whether they are hurting or they're happy, but right, not to tough it out.
Right.
So talk a little about this parenting issue, how we grow boys.
I believe in modeling. I believe, of course, in God's ideal, father, mother in the home. Mm-hmm. But based on data, particularly from Statin, we find that about 60% of the Jamaican household is led by either a mother or a grandmother. So that in itself is a problem. So when you talk about modeling, particularly for boys, you don't necessarily have that father and or father figure in the home to model, demonstrate, show what healthy or let's say good masculinity looks like. How to deal with situations when they arise. When you hurt, so if I see daddy when he's hurt, how does he react to that hurt? When I see daddy and mommy and how do they interact with each other? If mommy might have said something to daddy, how did he respond to that? And also, how he responded to that situation, he would now use that as a teaching moment for me. And so because of that dynamic of the father figure lacking in the home, the visual aspect of learning is totally missing. And then now the masculinity that we learn in terms of how to be a man is the negative aspect of it is reinforced in the village. The taxes that we take go to school, in the music, social media for sure. So the village is also now virtual. So it reinforces the negative aspect of masculinity or reinforces unhealthy masculinity. And that's unfortunately what we use as when boys are going through their journey to manhood in terms of their daily lives.
So how then do we encourage our young boys and men to express their emotions and seek help before mental health issues become more severe?
Well, firstly, if something is bothering you, one, it is okay to cry. You know, I want our boys, you know, those of you listening, I want the men who are listening, I want the parents who are listening to encourage our boys that to express themselves, their emotion by way of crying. That's a very healthy thing to do. Also, it's very important that you find somebody to talk to. If something bothers you, it is important to know that you can go and speak to somebody, whether it is that your guidance counselor at school, your parents, of course, a church, but certainly someone to share what it is that has happened to you or how it is that you're feeling.
Jason, you let this thing sound too easy because we don't want a soft man. We want men who are strong and the crying business not going to work with us. Mm-hmm. So you talk to me now about how we can express ourselves and why it is that this kind of mental health issues among men go unrecognized and untreated, especially in Jamaica.
Well, the truth is, you know, I'm happy you said that because while we can speak directly to the person feeling how they feel, mm-hmm. the boy or the young adult or the adult male, mm-hmm. unfortunately, the wider public, the wider society, they aren't so receptive to males who are in touch with their emotions. Mm-hmm, you're too soft, or quote unquote, you want girly, girly, or something must be wrong with you. Mm-hmm. You know, or they question your sexuality, to be honest. Mm-hmm. You understand? But I want the persons going through it, men who I'm talking to understand their self-worth and that the value in you is not dependent on how people view you. But I also want to say, to the listeners, you spoke about the video that is circulating. He said he experienced this thing, sexual abuse. And he went and he said it to his parents and the community members and they ostracized him. The persons who are supposed to take care of the stakeholders. And so there's some awareness building that needs to take place. Just like we're doing now in Moments of Hope, where we're bringing this across the airwaves so that people, caregivers, family members, neighbors, you understand that you need to understand mental health, understand that men also need persons to listen and to understand and don't judge them, and to be willing to hear. And do not cast judgment, do not ostracize, be informed of where you can point persons to. There's a difference between Christian counseling and professional counseling. Mm-hmm. Dr. Barnett, one of the things I find is that oftentimes, believers, many believers, men, they spiritualize what they're going through and they just want to pray it away, fast it away. Mm-hmm. Praying and fasting is good. But I'm going to also say to you that you need to get professional help. If you mm-hmm. pray and you fast and the thing is still lingering, you mm-hmm. say to your pastor and they tried their methods, I'm saying, mm-hmm. Pastor, one, it's okay to refer to a God-fearing counselor, mm-hmm. psychotherapist, psychologist, and mm-hmm. to you too as a man, it's important that as you pray and fast, you mm-hmm. utilize the services available. Just as though if you have diabetes or hypertension and you pray and fast about it, you're taking your medication. Mm-hmm. Speaking to others is a form of treatment. And mm-hmm. sometimes you might need medication. But that's my encouragement out there.
Jason, talk to our listeners about some of the contributing factors affecting men's mental health. I know there are several. Yes. I wanted to zero in on some very poignant one.
Well, you know, certainly I want to you know, just jump back to the point of reference when you mentioned that person on the airwaves and he's going through what seems to be post-traumatic stress. Yeah. And oftentimes it's trauma from the past, unresolved trauma. Mm-hmm. And clearly this is one. And on top of it, he's being re-traumatized as he shared his experience. And as psychologists, as we practice, you know, we certainly use a thing called ACE, adverse childhood experiences, which tend to identify some things, traumatic events, among other things, you know, in your childhood years that as you develop, they certainly influence the type of person we become or the situation it is that we face with. Work pressure is one example. You know, and certainly when it comes out to being a man in Jamaica, the pressure is very high. And let me give you a very low-hanging fruit. As an example, when you have boys growing up in the home and there's no father figure, and when they have sisters or other younger brothers, oftentimes the parent, the mother, would say, and mothers are not blaming you, so let me put that out there. Oftentimes the mothers would say, you're the man of your house. That's a lot of pressure. A lot to put on a boy. No, he might be the oldest in the home or the only male in the home, but he's still a boy, and that is not his responsibility. So sometimes we find a lot of men from very early, they have been taking on the responsibility, or as some persons would say, they have been on the grind, just going. And that pressure, now they have reached a certain threshold, you find that they're bursting at the seams. The expectation to provide generally, whether it is that you find yourself, you know, you're a husband, you have your children, to meet those demands, certainly that would cause some amount of pressure. Then we talk about the other one that we started with earlier, which is you're growing up and it's almost you have been suppressing issues, whether it be trauma, whatever it is. And there's a saying that we learn in Jamaica, pressure bust pipe. So that is one. And, you know, you just feel as though you're not thought about. Why is it that on Father's Day, it seems as though you get mentioned, but that's about it. You are not looked on. And I don't want to say praise, because as fathers, we don't want to be praised. And we want to be acknowledged. But there are, of course, more serious ones that would have caused a lot of men to face pressures and just feel like them can't bother.
Talk to us, Jason, because for years, we were under the impression that women were the ones who were victims of domestic violence. Oh, we're hearing now that men are also experiencing that. Is that a myth or is it real?
No, it's Dr. Barnett, it's very real. Dr. Herbert Gale has done some studies, right? Mm-hmm. Based on what he has said, and I certainly believe him, is that many men who now abuse women, it is because they were abused by their mothers and normally a single mother, based on what data that he has come. Now, there's a pushback to that because it doesn't fit the narrative. Mm-hmm. The next thing is, when we speak about domestic violence, the data that is often collected comes from the police station or the police. Mm-hmm. And why that tends to lean, I don't want to say mostly, because you find women are mostly abused by men, clearly. But why you don't have more data speaking to men being abused is because oftentimes when the men go to the police station and they are there to report, they're ridiculed. Mm-hmm. And so they don't bother to report. And that data is not captured. Mm-hmm. And the next thing to oftentimes what is captured as domestic violence is a physical aspect of things. But in many instances, the men are verbally and emotionally abused first. It's just that, go back to the same, emotional intelligence. When they are verbally and emotionally abused by their partner, they do not know how to manage or to cope or to self-regulate, and they act out.
Talk to us a little more. Mm-hmm. Why would a man allow himself to be abused by a woman? Not physically. Is there a pattern? Is it because more women are working and earning more? How does that look?
Dr. Barnett, thanks for that question. It's very important to understand that when we speak of abuse, it's not just sexual. There's financial, there's emotional, and of course, there's a physical. One of the things we hear a lot of men speaking about when it comes on to the physical aspect of abuse or emotional abuse, we have heard of murder-suicide, and we have heard of the man, you know, doing bodily harm fatally to the woman and then taking his own life. Mm-hmm. And that is not good, not accepted. But as you delve into the situation, the forensic kept going and you're going some more, you realize that oftentimes that man feels he was abused. When you check with the family members and persons who are close to him, you hear them say things like, you know, this man spent a lot on her, put her through school. Now, let me make it be very clear. We are not justifying anything. And so we are looking at some of the factors here. This man might say, you hear, he helped to get her established and secure financially, and she just left him. Or this man has done everything and he worked very hard to take care of his family, only to find out that she was having an affair. And oftentimes, the male sometimes don't know how to manage that, and then he doesn't speak. He doesn't seek help, and so he snaps. Yes. And I can tell you, Dr. Barnett, with the work I do in prison, I speak to a lot of men like that. They are very remorseful now. They recognize what they did wrong. But, you know, they're at a place now where they can speak about what it is that they're going through. And a lot of that stems to right back to childhood trauma.
I want us to explore how faith can be a source of comfort and mental wellness for men.
Dr. Barnett, you know, whenever I do present at church, and I'm grateful that a lot more church leaders are embracing the whole thing of mental health. And so I've spoken at several churches. And one of the go-to scripture is when David said, "Why cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou." And we can go. And that speaks to a moment when you felt depressed. And there are many other stalwarts in scripture were going through something. Something was happening mentally. And they had to lean on their sovereign God. I can speak from personal experience, going through moments, a point of desperation where I was seeing psychologists, yes, and I heard what the psychologist was saying and how I was feeling, you know, because what you're going through in terms of psychologically can't just switch off right away sometimes, especially if there's a diagnosis there. And so you hear what the psychologist is saying and you're holding on to that, but you know how you feel. Then now what helps and give you that boost is the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. You know, that peace that he brings. And so if you're here and you're listening and you're not saved, I'm saying to you, you need to know this man, Jesus Christ.
You said that more churches are participating, are being aware of mental wellness and mental illness. Call the church to action. What would you tell pastors and elders and deacons and church leaders who are listening to this program about men and mental health?
So I just want to say to the body of Christ, you know, the churches, thank you so far for the work that you have been doing. Thanks for those who have begun to delve into this space. There's still a lot more work to be done. And I believe in the holistic aspect of ministry. And as I just spoke about, you know, David, when he spoke to outcast on O my soul. And I am saying to you that we are asking you to lead from the front and use whether it is a family life ministry or whatever area of ministry or arm of ministry that you have. And start with awareness building. There are many within the kingdom who are counseling psychologists. There are those who are therapists who are trained and qualified to make at least at first a presentation when it comes down to, for example, psychological first aid, because that at least can help to save a life. And so I make this appeal to you. There are many of us, and I say us because there are several of us, even I've gone through Jamaica Theological Seminary, big up Jamaica Theological Seminary. We have been equipped and we can make a presentation. We can offer ourselves. We can serve you in such a manner to help to guide you in a particular direction.
Thank you, Jason. It's such a pleasure to listen to you. Thank you for being here this morning and giving our men hope. Please pray for our men and our boys and our nation on a whole as we go through this month of mental health awareness.
You know, Lord, we thank you that you are God, and we thank you that you always listen. That even our moanings and our groanings, you understand. And even as we put our men before you, there are so many times we internalize. And sometimes we just groan. But we are grateful, God, that you're God who understands our heart. And so, Lord, I pray that as men, as we're here and those listening, God, I pray that you speak to our hearts, Father, and help us that we are not alone. Help us to understand that you have placed people around, organizations in our lives where we can go and speak to persons concerning matters of the heart, matters of the mind, matters of family. So even now, Lord, I pray for that man who might be thinking about finding out a way that is not good, that is not healthy, to express himself. And so I pray that you minister to him even now and stop him right in his tracks. And God, I pray that you send the necessary help for him. We bless you, we honor you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's remember that faith and healing go hand in hand. Proverbs 11 and 14 reminds us that where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in the abundance of counselors, there's safety. Brothers, trusting in God is our foundation, but he also places people, counselors, therapists, and friends in our lives to guide us through our toughest battles. Seeking help is not a sign of weakness, but an act of strength and wisdom. Through prayer, therapy, and community, we can find the support we need to overcome anxiety, depression, and stress. Remember, your mental health matters to God, and he equips us with both faith and therapy to lead us in our wholeness. God bless you, and may you walk in his peace and strength.
A reminder that regardless of what you encounter in life, there is hope, and there is power in prayer. Hebrews 11 verse 6 reminds us that God rewards those who earnestly seek him. And so we encourage you to pray by yourself or join with a family member or a friend. And let us pray, being mindful that God answers prayers. Do join us next week.